Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 77 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties.
Good, how are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on another outstanding season. You guys certainly finished things off in style with an impressive bowl win there in San Diego. You know, how much confidence did you guys have going into that game? You know, did you expect to dominate like you did?
Honestly, we didn't expect to dominate. You always go into a game, you know, expecting to win, but we knew it was going to be a tough game. You know, they were a really good opponent, and they fought us hard for a while. They kind of broke towards the end, and that's what we were hoping to do. You know, that's kind of what our whole team, that's what we work on throughout the year, is, you know, breaking the rock and finishing. And so we finished throughout the entire game, and I think eventually they broke. So.
Well, the game was a shootout into the third quarter when USC pulled within 28-24 before their starting quarterback got hurt. Things kind of went downhill for the Trojans from there. You know, how much of an impact do you think, you know, that injury played in the outcome?
I think it was big. You know, having a quarterback come in three-fourths of the game in, it's tough to kind of get your bearings. So that helped us out a little bit. You know, you never want a kid to get injured, but it ended up helping us out in the end. So.
Well, the win allowed you guys to finish with a 10-win season, which sounds a lot better than a 9-win season. You know, was that one of the primary motivating factors for you guys going into the game?
In terms of getting a 10th win.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you always want to win a game. You know, but we kind of take it week by week. So you always want to finish double-digit wins, which is nice. But yeah, it was kind of our goal to get that 10th win for sure.
Well, this is obviously a business trip for you guys, but you know, did you do anything fun while you're out there in San Diego? You guys went to the zoo, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to the zoo. It was pretty fun. We took a little bus tour around the zoo, so we didn't have to walk. So that was nice. But yeah, it was really fun. Kind of touring around San Diego as well. They had really good Mexican food and stuff, so it was good.
Yeah, I've been to that zoo before. It is a good one, but it is a big one. You can get tired if you walk around there.
Yeah. No, that was my first time. I've been to L.A. And San Francisco, but I haven't been to Southern Cal that far before.
All right. Well, before I ask you a few more questions about this season, I wanted to go back to your freshman year and ask you a few things about last season. You came into the program and got a chance to play right away as a true freshman. You racked up 24 tackles while playing in all 13 games, and you made 5 starts. You were one of only 3 true freshmen to not redshirt in 2018. You know, did you kind of surprise yourself by getting an opportunity to play such a vital role right away?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I kind of went into that first camp my freshman year thinking, you know, I just want to be on the travel squad. That was my goal, is to be on the travel squad, maybe play some special teams. And I kept working, and I got thrown in the mix, and I honestly didn't expect that at all, but I'm glad I worked hard, and I'm glad it paid off. So.
Well, what was the biggest adjustment that you had to make to be able to play on that
level? Speed of the game. It's insane. It's a lot faster than high school. I remember middle school to high school, it was – a fast difference, and then from high school to college is just insane. But once you get your bearings and you kind of get the feel for the game, it's not too bad.
Now, did you learn a lot from playing with guys like Jake Gervais and Amani Hooker? You know, did anybody kind of in particular kind of take you under their wing and show you the ropes?
Yeah, Jake Gervais definitely took me underneath his wing. You know, we were roommates for most of the year, so he kind of gave me wisdom and kind of gave me his insightful eye on some things. So. I'm not sure, honestly. They just kept testing me, and I was ready when it happened.
Well, you played in 9 games this year and had 5 tackles along with 2 interceptions and 3 passes broken up. You suffered an injury during the season opener against the Miami of Ohio and then had to sit out the next 4 games. Now, was it your knee that you injured? How'd the injury occur?
So it was actually my hip, and so I was running down on punt coverage, and it was kind of a non-contact thing. I kind of got off balance, and I almost dislocated my hip, which would have been a season-ending injury. But I ended up just tweaking it just right, and it took a while to get it back to where it was supposed to be at. So, but it was just a weird injury because it was non-contact. So,
wow. Well, one of the games that you missed, of course, 10 game against Michigan at the Big House. You know, I know there wasn't anything you could do about it. It had to be tough to miss those games.
Yeah, because that's the only time we're going to be at Michigan, and I really want to play in the Big House. You know, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to play in a lot of Big Ten stadiums, and that was definitely one of them.
Well, you then returned to action on October 12th with a night game at home against Penn State, and that was certainly an electric atmosphere at Kinnick Stadium that night, and I know because I was down there on the sidelines for that one. I know the game didn't go the way you guys wanted to, but that still had to be fun to play in that atmosphere.
Yeah, it was insane. The fans were all into it, and it just makes it a lot more fun to play in when the fans are in it like that.
Well, I know you got a chance to talk to your former Centennial teammate, Jake Pinniger, after the game. You got to be happy for the success that he's having.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to see your friend and your former teammate, you know, doing well at that level.
Well, I should mention that I was also hoping to have Jake on the podcast this week, but we were unable to work it out for a couple of reasons. Hopefully we can get him on some other time. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gerstmann Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gerstmann, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gerstmann Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gerstmann.com to get pre-approved today. We're visiting with Iowa defensive back Ryan Moss. And Ryan, when you did return to action, you saw the field mostly on special teams. You know, was that the hardest part about coming back from an injury, trying to work yourself back into the rotation at defensive back?
Yeah, I guess it was more so just trying to work my hip back into it because it took a lot of time to get back to 100%. So I guess it was just getting used to my hip. And then once I was back 100%, you know, I took whatever role I was given and I worked hard at it because I'm not going to complain or anything about that. I'm happy for OJ and I'm happy for Matt, you know, because they were supportive when they were injured as well. So I did the same.
Special as the season turned out to be, you know, do you still think about what might have been if not for a player here or there in those three games?
Yeah, our goal is always the Big Ten championship, and so it hurts a little bit, but there's always next year, and we're going to work hard for that.
Well, as you look ahead to next year, you know, what do you feel like you need to do to become a starter at cornerback? Do you feel like the opportunity is there for you?
Yeah, it's kind of open right now, so I'm not going to change anything I've been doing. I'm honestly just going to keep working hard and just keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah.
One of your cornerbacks, Michael Ojemudia, has exhausted his eligibility. Your team will also lose safety Geno Stone, who announced earlier this week that he was declaring for the NFL draft. And I know there had been some speculation that he might do that. So I guess that wasn't a surprise, was it?
You know, he told us a couple hours before he announced it that he was leaving. And we kind of felt him out about it. But ultimately, it was his decision. And it was good for him to go back home and kind of get away from it all and so he can make that decision on his own.
We have two other teams.
Honestly, I don't know. It's their decision. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if they stayed, but that's me being selfish. So, but honestly, I don't know.
It's going to be a great opportunity for them, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the other question marks going into next season will be a quarterback where Nate Stanley has been such a fixture at that position for so long. You know, do you have confidence in the guys coming up behind him that they'll be able to take over and do the job next year?
Yeah. I actually roommate with Spencer Peters, who's the second string quarterback right now. And He has a lot of ability, and I think he'll be able to do something. He went to the same high school as actually Jared Goff, and he broke some of Jared Goff's records in high school. Not to say that means he's going to be good in college, but he has a really great work ethic, and he's really bought into the program. So.
Well, Ryan, there's just a couple other things I wanted to ask you about. Of course, the Hawkeye family lost a coaching legend last month with the death of Hayden Fry. Now, you would be too young to personally remember when Fry was coaching the Hawkeyes, but have you heard some stories about him from the people over in Iowa City? You know, did Coach Ferentz say anything?
He said what our program is now is because of him. You know, he was kind of the founding father of Iowa football and Iowa athletics as well. He hired a lot of great coaches that ended up being, you know, amazing coaches. So honestly, he didn't really say anything too much about it, but he definitely felt a connection with him. He always got kind of sentimental too.
Well, sure. Well, Coach Ferentz is already the winningest coach in Iowa history, and he seems to be going really strong. I guess that he'll coach for several more years. What has it been like to play for him?
It's been a dream come true. You know, I grew up watching him on TV and thinking of him as a legend, and then being able to hear him every day, it's kind of crazy. I still think he's still a legend. So. So it sounds weird, but I want to get into medical sales. There's kind of a business path you can take within sports rec. And so that's kind of the route I want to go. Yeah, that's kind of where I got it from, is he kind of instilled that and told me about that one in high school, and then a couple of my teammates are doing it now, so.
Well, you followed his path to go to Iowa, you're just going to keep following.
I know, yeah, exactly.
All right, Ryan, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, forever young photo facials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677.
All right, my next guest is also a former Centennial defensive back who just completed his true freshman season as a member of Iowa State squad. He joined the Cyclones program as a preferred walk-on this fall and recently made the trip to Orlando with the team for the Camping World Bowl. He is Tyler Rogers. Tyler, thanks for coming in. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? And thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. We've had a little time now to digest your first season on the Power 5 level. You know, were you pretty happy with the way things went?
For the most part, yeah. I think as a team standpoint, things could have went a little better than they did. But I think overall, everyone is very happy. You know, getting to the Camping World Bowl and play Notre Dame is kind of a huge step for Iowa State. And so I think that's the starting zone. That's something could be really special. So,
what was the biggest adjustment for you personally going from the CIML to the Big 12?
Talent. going to just, you know, any college level, there's going to be a bunch of guys, a bunch of talent different than what I see in high school. So getting used to the speed of the game and stuff like that. And, you know, everyone out here is just kind of like a freak athlete. So trying to get used to that and, you know, be confident out there was kind of one of my things I struggled with in the beginning. So.
Sure. Well, what was a typical practice like for you? When you're a freshman walk-on, you probably don't get a ton of reps. You do a lot of standing around and watching, or did the coaches find ways to keep everybody active most of the time?
Coaches find a good way to get everyone involved. It doesn't matter if you're a starter or, you know, if you're on a scout team, they find ways to get you in, and you can still prove your talent there. For me, most of the part, I spent my time on scout teams, so scout special teams and then scout defense. So it was fun going up against the number one offense, number two offense, or first and second stringers, I should say.
Sure.
And so, you know, going up against Petway and Deshante and Brock, you know, that's always fun, and, you know, betters you as a player. So.
Oh, sure. Now, did you get a dress out for any games this year or not?
The bowl game was the only game I got a dress out, so it was a fun experience.
Other than the bowl trip, you probably didn't get travel then to road games, right?
Nope. So.
Well, I know the bowl game didn't go the way you know you would have liked, but other than the actual game, you know, how was the trip? Did you enjoy it?
It was awesome. I mean, being in Orlando around cold time in Iowa, it was fun to get away from that. Some of the experiences we did, we went to Universal. So as a team, we got to go there, ride rides, and then Thursday we got to go to an arcade and go-karting place, and it was us and Notre Dame there with some kids in the community. So. It was fun hanging out with them and getting to know Notre Dame players and the kids in the community as well. So,
well, I had Colin Olson on the podcast last week, and he told me that it was just tough for the team to overcome those two early turnovers. It just seemed like that gave Notre Dame all the momentum, and they just never gave it back, did they?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we held their defense got up, forced a punt, and unfortunate turnover. And then I think after that, we kind of just lost our mojo. And you know, Notre Dame being the top tier in college football, they just kind of took over from there and started to overcome.
Well, as a true freshman, you obviously didn't get a play this year, but, you know, do you feel like you learned a lot just from watching the games and practices?
Oh, for sure. I think my knowledge for the game has increased a lot. You know, you're around people and coaches that are, you know, only there to make you better. So I think making the most of your resources and being so involved, I mean, every day you're spending 4 or 5 hours with football and stuff like that. And I think, you know, every day you grow little steps. So I think eventually it'll pay off for you.
Well, Colin was in the same boat as you 4 or 5 years ago. You know, he joined the program as a preferred walk-on after graduating from Centennial. You know, and he was buried on the depth chart as a defensive lineman for a few years before Coach Campbell recommended that he make that switch to the offensive line. You know, he eventually earned a scholarship and started his last 2 years for the Cyclones. You know, he really showed what a guy can accomplish if he sticks with it, right?
Right. And, you know, before I went to Iowa State, they had us and other walk-ons thinking about going to Iowa State, and they were talking to us, and the name that just kept coming up was Colin Olson, and this dude, you know, toughness, grit, you know, he did whatever he was asked, and that's why he got to where he was.
Well, I'm sure you'd love to eventually see some playing time in the defensive backfield, but don't you feel like your first opportunity to get on the field will be a special team?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. That's kind of one of the stepping stones, and hopefully that's one way I can get out on the field and kind of prove myself, and so I'm looking forward to that, and that'll be one of my focuses moving forward.
And you played quite a bit of special teams in high school, didn't you?
Yeah, that's actually how I got my chance. Sophomore year, Jamie Cole put me in on kickoff and made a couple plays, and then worked from there. Got to play some defensive back reps, and then just kind of kept going up from there. So.
Well, I would think that experience, you know, on special teams in high school would be helpful, you know, at the next level as well.
Yeah, yes, very helpful.
Well, you're listed on the roster as a 5'11", 193 pounds, and I wondered if maybe you needed to add a little more weight, you know, to play on that level. But when I look down the roster, I see a lot of the DBs who played for Cyclones this season are about the same weight, and some of them are well under 200 pounds. So do you feel like you're big enough to play at that level?
You know, I do. Looking at Greg Eisworth and Braxton Lewis and Lawrence White, the three starting safeties there, you know, they're not necessarily big, but they're very physical and they know how to use their body well. And I feel like, you know, as a freshman, I came in and put on a little bit of weight, but I think I'm okay where I am right now and just got to get stronger and faster.
So what are some things that you would have to improve on, you know, to put yourself in that mix to eventually play in the defensive backfield? You mentioned getting stronger and faster, but there's some technique things too?
Of course, yeah. I got to clean up some footwork, stuff like that. Just certain techniques that Iowa State uses, I got to get more familiar with and just get more comfortable. And then obviously confidence is another thing. You got to go out there and trust yourself. So.
Well, Tyler, I see on your bio on the team website that you're majoring in construction engineering. Now, when I went to Iowa State many years ago, I lived with a couple of engineering majors for a couple of years, so I know how much, you know, you have to study to be in that field. Has it been difficult for you to balance your academics with your football schedule?
You know, in the first couple of weeks it was, because, you know, you got a whole new assignments, getting used to the college life, and then you got a bunch of football and stuff like that. So, yeah, it definitely took a lot of getting used to, and I think one of the biggest things is time management. So you really just got to know how to manage your time and stuff like that. But, you know, every semester I think will get easier and easier. Not the classes, but figuring out what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Well, one of your former Centennial football and basketball teammates, Brady Peterson, will be joining the program in the fall. You know, are you excited to see how he's going to do in Ames?
I'm so excited. You know, coming in, I didn't really know anyone. And so it'll be nice to have Brady come in and I can kind of, you know, tell him what to expect and stuff like that. But I think he can make a huge impact in his first year. And so it'll be fun kind of just have him up there and be around him and stuff like that.
Well, have you already talked to him and told him a little bit about what
you expect? Oh, of course. I've kind of tried to scare him a little bit and tough him up and stuff like that. But, you know, I think he'll adjust well, and Iowa State will, you know, use him very well.
Now, you always hear that the transition from high school to college football is harder the closer you are to the ball. You know, Brady will be joining a group of offensive linemen that includes, you know, some rather large grown men. So what do you think is going to be the biggest adjustment for him?
Oh, man, I think that is size. Like, in high school, you know, the defensive linemen he's going up against aren't the biggest in the world, or, you know, technique and stuff like that. So I think he's really just got to focus on that, you know, getting stronger in the weight room and stuff like, you know, something along the line of that. So.
Yeah, obviously in high school he was the biggest guy out there. Now he's going to be just one of all the guys are that big.
Right,
sure, so
adjustment. Major adjustment.
Well, I talked earlier with another one of your former Centennial teammates, Riley Moss. You know, his college career is obviously off to a good start there at Iowa. You know, are you surprised at all by the success that he's had?
Not at all. I mean, being with him for 2 years, 3 years, he was always balling out there, you know. It was fun playing defensive back with him, and whenever he's on your side, you know he's got your back and stuff like that. So seeing him make big plays at Iowa is not shocking, but, you know, I love it. I love seeing it.
Well, now that you two guys are on the opposite sides of that Cy-Hawk rivalry, which can get pretty intense at times, are you going to be able to remain friends?
Maybe not during the game, but afterwards for sure. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tyler, for coming in. Appreciate it, and good luck next season.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs.
All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny girls basketball team. He has guided the Hawkettes to a 5-5 record this season. superintendent, who is Drew McAnally. Drew, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks for having us tonight, Dan. Pleasure to be here as always.
You bet. You guys are coming off a 62-45 victory at Ottumwa on Tuesday, and that was a win that snapped a four-game losing skid for your squad. You know, that was a big win for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, we just coming fresh off the news. We lost Holly Trimble for sure for the year. Really admire her heart and aspiration, trying to play through a lot of pain, but come to it, she needs to have surgery. We had a rough, tough stretch of the schedule there, and it was nice holiday break, get rejuvenated a little bit. Had a tough one against Ames. We were right there, you know, a couple possessions here and there would have went our way. Maybe we get a W, but thought we grew from that game. And, you go an hour and a half on a bus down to a 5-3 basketball team, and it was a really good effort, and I was very proud of the girls, and it's a win that we much needed, building a little bit of momentum into the big one on Friday night. So. No, we're not. I'm just extremely proud of the girls, the way they've responded. Our team morale is really good. I've had multiple coaches tell me either before or after games that we're playing so well together. We're sharing the ball. We're moving the ball. We have some deficiencies with size and depth and lack of length, but we're not going to sit around and make excuses or feel sorry for ourselves, because guess what? When we tip the ball for 32 minutes, our opponents aren't feeling sorry for ourselves, so we can't feel sorry for ourselves either. But we got probably 30 points and 12 to 15 rebounds on the sidelines, and it is what it is. That's part of sports, and it's nothing other coaches or players and teams haven't had to persevere through. So we're going to battle through it, and we'll be better people and better team for it. So.
Well, have you ever had another year in coaching like this where you've lost two of your top players?
I've never lost two. I've had multiple years where I've lost either probably my top or my second best player. But no, never two. So this is rare, and it definitely hurts, and I feel bad for both of them. Abby at least has another year. I feel terrible for Holly. She had a really good, she was playing really well this fall, and was really excited to get going, and she tried so hard, bless her heart, to play through it, but it wasn't meant to be. So.
Well, of course, Holly was averaging 4 points and 3.5 rebounds, which are pretty modest numbers, but that doesn't even begin to tell you what she
did. No. First of all, she brings length. Holly could literally play if our point guards got hurt or in foul trouble, Holly could literally bring the ball up. We wouldn't necessarily want that, but she could do it effectively. She could play the 1-5 on offense, and she could probably guard the 1-5 on defense. She sees the floor very well. I think she finished the year above 35% from the three-point line last year. She's just one of those girls that does everything pretty well, and she's kind of your glue girl where she does a lot of things. Not only glamorous, but she does a lot of things that go unnoticed that help your team significantly.
I know you told me previously that Abby might be able to return about February 1st, and I saw some video of her on Twitter the other day taking some jump shots, so it appears that she's making some progress. She hasn't been cleared to practice.
No, and I think they keep pushing the date back a little bit. There's some uncertainty there. I will be surprised, hopeful, but surprised if we get her back February 1st. I think now hopeful might be tournament time, so if at all. So it was her second ACL tear of the same knee, so it's pretty significant. So
well, even if she came back February 1st, yeah, you'd only have like 4 days.
Yeah, and it's tough, and no, so.
Well, one of your seniors, Kayla Pitts, has really stepped up for you this season. She scored a career-high 24 points in Friday's loss to Ames, and she's now averaging nearly 17 points per game. You really couldn't ask much more from her, could you?
She's just flat out. I don't have enough words, but she's been, for lack of better words, unbelievable. She does so many things for us. She's obviously shooting the ball tremendously well this year, but she's putting it on the floor. She's become very multidimensional. She's, I think, our second leading rebounder right now too. Leading the team, I think, in steals. She's just doing a lot of things. And right now, everything we're doing is through her. So she's kind of the center point of our team.
You
know, typical Coach DeYoung team. They're not maybe quite as big as they've been the past couple of years, but they're big, physical, long, and athletic. Top defensive team in the state, as expected. I told the girls tonight, you look at Meg Burns. I don't know if I've ever statistically seen boy, girl, high school, college, a player through 10 games shooting the ball 60% from the three-point line. That's absolutely phenomenal. They're going through her. Murray's playing well. Pippen and Harris are playing really, really strong and tough down low. And Runchy, I tell you what, she's one of the best defenders in the state. But she's shooting 11 of 20. She doesn't take a lot of threes, but she's hit some big ones. So they got a really nice ball club up there. So.
Well, like you mentioned in the past, Centennial had a couple of really good post players, and Rachel Schoen and Kenna Sauer, were really difficult for you guys to match up with. You know, now they still have some pretty good size with Alex Harris and Jackie Pippett. And you guys obviously don't have much depth. But do you feel like you're maybe more equipped to match up with them this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Their size is going to bother us to a point. I think we got some ways we can work around it. Once again, it's just going to be an energy and effort thing for us, and our girls know that, and they probably get tired of me saying it. But if we can play with a high-level energy and effort and communication, we can do some things maybe to compound their size and length. So,
is there anything in particular that you see as being the key to the game?
First of all, offensively, we can't have empty possessions. We got a value ball. We got to handle their length and physicality on defense. Defensively, obviously identifying Burns and Murray and not giving up second chance points. We can't give up offensive rebound putbacks. A good team like that that's really going to play well at the defensive end, you can't give them extra possessions on offense as well.
Well, you mentioned their rugged defense in the past. You guys have struggled to score against them. I think you averaged about 30 points in the last four games.
Yeah.
And that's just not going
to
cut it.
Yeah, you don't have to remind me of that, Dan, but yes, we have. They're very physical, very long, very athletic, and it's we're small in general, and my guard court is small for a guard court too. We got speed and we got some talent, and girls are shooting the ball well, but yeah, that has bothered us in the past. And if we can play with confidence and play with no fear and step up and hit some shots, I think we can be in the game maybe the second half and give her a go. I think the girls believe, and that's the bottom line, is they believe because their coaches believe. So. I could see them doing that. I know they didn't really do that with Clark or McDermott in those two games. They don't necessarily face guard. They're just not gonna. They're not gonna help a lot off of her. They're definitely gonna probably. I'm gonna probably either put Burns,
Runchy,
and then Street off the bench has done a really good job playing defense. I'm gonna guess they're gonna put someone with length on Kayla, and she knows that, and she's ready for that. So. She's ready for the challenge.
Well, I don't want you to give away all of your strategy, but I know you guys have played both man-to-man and zone defenses this season. Centennial is a team that's very capable of shooting from the outside. They set a school record of 15 three-pointers on Saturday. So I'm guessing regardless of what kind of defense you play, you don't want to give them a bunch of open runs.
No, we're gonna mix some things up, and we've obviously gone over that in practice and had a film session, and we know what they're capable of, and we know their strengths, and We're going to be ready to go, and it should be just a wonderful, wonderful high school atmosphere, something these kids can cherish for a long time, because it's going to be a really cool experience tomorrow night with a great crowd and a lot going on, and hopefully we'll see who can rise to the occasion, but it's going to be a fun, fun environment.
Well, I know it's a big game, but regardless of how it turns out, you guys are going to have to move on. Next week you guys are going to Dallas on Tuesday and then Johnston on Friday, so if anything, this schedule only gets tougher.
Yeah, I mean, we go Centennial tomorrow night, like you said, and then we go to Dowling and Johnston on the road, then we turn around and play Valley and Urbandale at home. So you look at our next five games, to say of all those teams, the only one not in the top 15 is Valley, who is in the last 3 years has won two state championships. So, no, it's not going to get any easier. So, we're battle-tested. We're used to it. That's our schedule. That's our life in the CIML. And like I said, our team morale is high. These girls have shown unbelievable perseverance, and they come to practice every day with a smile on their face and work hard, and we know what's ahead of us. I'm 100% confident they'll rise to the challenge.
Well, Drew, before I let you go, I just have one other question for you. It's a little bit off topic, but I know you're a big Iowa Hawkeye fan, and we had Riley Moss on the podcast earlier tonight to recap the Hawkeye season. Now, unlike Riley, you're old enough to remember Coach Hayden Fry, who unfortunately passed away last month. I'm sure you were a big fan of Coach Fry back in the day. coaching philosophy?
Well, one we like to do after a big win is we do the hokey pokey in the locker room. So I definitely got that from Coach Fry. I love one of his old sayings: if it isn't broke, don't fix it. Coach Fry was a unbelievable icon for the state of Iowa and what he did, not only for the University of Iowa and college football, but for the state, you know, through the farm crisis and all of that is unbelievable, and I think will be remembered for a long, long time.
All right, Drew, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. We'll see you at the game tomorrow.
As always, Dan, we appreciate everything you do for high school athletics in Ankeny, and we thank you.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today.
Good, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You've really been on a roll of late, averaging 19.5 points over your last six games. Do you feel like you're playing the best basketball of your career?
I think I just have a much different role this year. I've stepped into more of a scoring role without Sarah, because she left last year. And I think last year I was more of a ball handler, assist, like pass it to the open girl. And this year Jenna really stepped up into that role, so it's allowed me to get more shots, I think, yeah. Yeah, that was a good game because it gave us a lot of confidence and showed us what we're capable of. I mean, it was a good team effort win. Like, we all had pretty even stats, so, I mean, it's very encouraging going into Friday.
Well, I know Coach told me that Tom was face guarding you, but that you didn't panic. You did a nice job of letting the game come to you. Now, were they the first team to kind of defend you that way?
I think they were the first team to fully face guard, yeah.
Were you kind of surprised that they did that?
A little, yeah. I mean, it took me off guard at first, but... Yeah, like you said, like the just let the game come to you. Yep.
Well, certainly a sign of respect when somebody does that. So. Well, before we break down Friday's game, from your point of view, I want to ask you a few other questions about the season in general. You guys got off to an impressive 4-1 start that included three wins on the road. Now, going into the season, did you make a point of trying to step up even more as a leader for this team, especially because you guys knew that you'd be without Andy Johnson for most of the year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially going into my senior year, it's my last year playing. I mean, yeah, I definitely wanted to step up and be a leader, especially with Sarah gone. She was a really big leader last year. I, like, tried my best to step up into her role. Yep.
Well, then the schedule got a lot tougher for you guys before the holiday break as your team suffered losses to Dowling, Catholic, Southeast Polk, and Urbandale, all of which are top 10 teams. And then came another loss to Ames last Friday, which was your team's first game after wearing the Holly Trimble was done for the season with her injury. You know, how big of a blow is that to lose Holly for the year?
Oh, man. That was crazy because... Me and her have played basketball together, I mean, before high school, so that's just, like, on a personal level that, I mean, that was hard. But, yeah, like Max said, she was the glue for our team, so, I mean, we've had a lot of the girls step up in her place, like Calissa, for example. I mean, she's done a really good job stepping up for Holly. But, yeah, I think it's just brought us together, too, because, I mean, she's still at practices and games, and she's still a leader. But I think it definitely, like, caused other girls to... step up.
We definitely had some other girls step up the other night. Calissa had 12 points and 8 rebounds. Your sister Jenna had 15 points. No, it was just a good solid team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was pretty cool.
Now, you told me earlier in the year that you were really enjoying playing on the same team with your sister, who, of course, is just a freshman. Now, because of your age difference, you guys probably haven't played on any other teams together, have you?
No, we haven't. But, I mean, that's why we were looking so forward to high school basketball. It would be the first time that we play together. I mean, I always knew that she had that potential. I was just trying to break her out of that shell of the freshman. Like, you're not a freshman, and you just need to come in and be confident in your abilities. And she's really done that. I mean, you can see that in her stats, but she just affects the game so much. Like I said, like, ball handling, it's all her. She's just so confident. It's so unbelievable to watch.
Centennial, because Anthony, you know, has never defeated the Jaguars. What would that mean to you to beat them, you know, if not Friday, and maybe on February 7th when you guys
Yeah, it's definitely always been a big goal of ours to beat them, especially over there. But, I mean, it'd be, what, history, because we've never beat them since the split. So I definitely want to be a part of that team, especially because I've lost to them 6 times now because I'm a senior. So make it even more special. I think, like Max said, we just need to get quality possessions and score the ball. Everyone knows they have the best defense, probably, I mean, of all the teams. So, I mean, scoring the ball is going to be big. Getting stops on defense, we just need to stick to the basics. And, I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, Austin Taylor likes to take away, you know, an opponent's best player. In the last couple of years against your team, I think they held a Sarah McCall to an average of 7 points per game. So do you expect to receive some extra attention tomorrow night?
I don't know about extra attention. I just think that they're so good and help. And, I mean, I don't know. We're just going to have to attack and kick. I mean, just play our game.
Well, I was talking to Lynn Rensen here a little bit ago. She works in our office here, and she was telling me how you and Taylor used to play
together. Oh, yeah.
You guys are still good friends, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I remember Lynn a lot, too. Yeah, we were pretty close. We played softball together.
Sure. Well, I'm sure you'll see a lot of Taylor tomorrow night.
Too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely think we're capable. I mean, if we play like we did against Ottumwa just as a team, we'll, I don't know, I think we have so much potential. We just need to kind of break out of that shell a little bit.
Well, now looking ahead to the future, especially with the way that you've been playing lately, are you considering playing basketball in college?
I did put a lot of thought into that, but I mean, I decided I'm just going to go to University of Iowa. I'm really excited about that, and I'm just going to major in business probably, the normal college experience.
You know,
I'm thinking about getting an accounting degree, follow my parents' footsteps, but
yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I'm just excited for college, the next step.
Sure. You got time to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, Caleb, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. See you at the game tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. Drew McAnally, Caleb Pitts, Riley Moss, and Tyler Rogers. Really appreciate their time. I apologize again for some of the audio issues. I thought we had that corrected, but we still have one set of headphones that's giving us some fits. We'll try to get that corrected before next week's podcast, which I think will probably be focusing on the Jaghawk boys game from Friday night. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.